Good morning, Life Church. How are we today? Man, I am so excited to be here with you this morning. I just got back from my third week of camp this summer because, like Pastor Ryan said, Bailey and I, we lead Life Leadership College, and part of that is it requires recruiting. It requires us going out to places to invite students to be a part of what's happening here. Right here within Life Church, we have a four-year, fully accredited ministry school for students that want to pursue full-time ministry. It's incredible that Pastor Aaron and Pastor Ryan's really vision for this is that every student that goes through our school will leave being either a missionary or a future pastor of our world. It's super exciting. Like he said, this year we're going to hit 20 students, we're believing, and through that we're going to see lives being transformed for years and years to come. Bailey and I really feel in this season that we're holding the ladder for these students to climb. That as these students are going to the next level, that God is going to do immeasurably more than they could ever ask, think, or imagine. And it's so incredible to be a part of it in every way. But like I said, my name is Carson Pope. My incredible wife is here in the front with me. Her name is Bailey Pope, and she is the director of missions here. So if you ever wanted to go on a mission trip, you've probably talked to her. She also helps with any missionary support and other things like that. But again, I am so excited to be here with you today, bringing the word today. I don't take it lightly in any way. So Pastor Ryan, Pastor Aaron, as he's watching online, I'm assuming, thank you guys so much for this opportunity. This is going to be, I hope, a great time for all of you. But before we get into it, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. God, we thank you that it's a lamp to our feet and it's a light to our path. I pray today, Lord, we'd hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. And God, I pray that today your word would be illuminated, that God, in this place, we would leave differently than the way that we came. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Today, if you're taking notes, I always encourage it. The title for today's message is The Importance of Community. The Importance of Community. In our main passage that we're going to be reading out of, we're going to be kind of breaking it down throughout the message, is found in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And it says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Little context on this passage of scripture. In Hebrews chapter 10, it really marks the end of the writer's primary argument and begins a transition into practical application. For several chapters, there's really been this conversation about how the new covenant in Jesus Christ is superior to the Old Testament way of offering sacrifices. The writer also carefully points out that God really always intended for this, that he always intended not this animal sacrifice thing, but really always intended that it was just relationship with Jesus, that it was relationship with God. And those were meant to be symbolic of the true solution, like I said, which was Jesus. That was what the animal sacrifices were for in the Old Testament. And the book of Hebrews is meant to challenge, it's meant to encourage, it's meant to empower Christians in their walk with God. And according to this letter, Jesus Christ is superior to all the other prophets, superior to all the other claims of truth. He's superior to everything, that he is superior. And the consequences of ignoring God, they're dire. And so Hebrews is important for drawing on many portions of the Old Testament and making a case that Christ is the ultimate and perfect expression of God's plan for mankind. And I love this passage of scripture, talking about pushing each other to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. And a big reason that we have service, like all of you in here, great job, you're here this morning. A big reason we have this time on a Sunday morning to gather together, yes, it's to hear God's word. Yes, it's to engage in the presence of God. But it's also to engage together in community. That you are not here by an accident and you are here for a purpose to build up the whole community of not just Life Church, but the kingdom of God as a whole. And a big reason we have life groups. Pastor Ryan mentioned the Red Next Steps card. There is a tab for life groups. That is an incredible time for you to get together around people that are similar-minded, maybe similar age, similar stage of life, That way you can grow together in community. It's incredibly important. Bailey and I have the incredible opportunity of helping to lead the gathering, which is a young adult, I mean, it acts as a life group, a young adult time where we can have a bunch of young adults that are getting together. And so if you're a young adult in the room and you don't have a life group, sign up for the gathering. Come join us this Tuesday, or not this Tuesday, the Tuesday after. It's going to be incredibly credible in every single way. But I will say this, that community is incredibly important. And for me and Bailey, we've kind of found this young adult season is kind of hard with community, because you've always, at least in my stage of life, you've kind of grown up through kids and youth, and you've been a part of schools and colleges where basically you've been forced to be together in community. Now, we don't have that. As an adult, you don't have that. You have to be intentional about building community. You have to be intentional about finding people that you can get together with in community. It's incredibly important. And the young adult season, like I said, it's really challenging without community, but incredibly uplifting when you do have a community. In the same way with you in your adult season, or maybe you're like, I'm really, in a way, I'm past the adult season. I'm in the grandparent stage and all these kind of things. You're still an adult. But either way, community is not just something that young adults need. It's something that we all need. It's not just and I would say this, if you're an introvert, it's not a cop-out for not having community. You need community regardless of introvert, extrovert. And I will say this, that if you're watching online today, thank you so much about being a part of our community. But I will say this, online was never supposed to be a substitute for in-person church. That it's good if you're sick, it's good if you're on vacation and you still want to be a part of the church family, but it's never designed to be a substitute, because you need to be in community. And you may be like, hey, I don't need community, but guess what? The community needs you. That's what is important. That you may feel like others don't need you, but they need you completely. You're a vital part of our church family. And so thank you again for being a part today if you're watching online. And thank you as well for being a part of our family here today. And so today we're going to look at our passage in Hebrews to learn, verse by verse, really, what is community for? And so point number one today, if you're taking notes, true community pushes each other to love and good works. True community pushes each other to love and good works. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Being a part of a community should cause you to grow. Being a part of a community should never just leave you stagnant. It should never leave you just where you're at. It should always cause you to grow. There's a byproduct of growth when you meet together with other believers. How many of you, by raising your hands, are better now as a believer than you were a year ago? Hands raised all over this place. It's because as you gather together in community, you're going to grow. It's part of it. It's a byproduct of it. You're going to continue to grow in your walk with the Lord when you're spending time with God and when you're spending time with other believers that are going to push you forward in that exact way. The passage of Scripture is very clear in how this should work. We need to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. A part of being in a relationship with someone is helping to push them forward in their God-given potential. How many of you are married in the room? That's your role. You need to push forward your spouse to love and good works. With Bailey and I, if I'm not pushing her forward, if she's not pushing me forward, the relationship's going to be stale. You have to push each other forward to love and good works, because I'm going to be a better friend. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better future father at some point in my life. I'm going to be a better pastor, believer, follower of Jesus as she pushes me forward. But if she doesn't, I'll just stay stale where I'm at. A strong relationship requires us to challenge each other. It's not just like you're butting heads with them all the time, but it's like, hey, have you thought about this? Have you contemplated this? Hey, I saw you did this thing. That probably wasn't the best thing. Why don't you do this instead? Like, it's not being harsh, but you may need to be direct in times, because through that, it will cause them to grow in the process. And within the context of life groups, part of the reason that we exist is so that you can meet and grow together with other adults or teenagers, or no matter what season of life you're in, you're going to grow with the people around you. Our goal would be that there'd be incredible friendships that would bloom out of them. Friendships where you're able to push each other towards doing good works and love. And Proverbs 27:17 talks about this point, illustrates it, and it says this: as iron sharpens iron, woman sharpens another in the same way. And I have a way to illustrate this. I have a knife. Don't worry, I'm staying on the stage. I have a knife and I have a sharpener. And really, the process of sharpening is just, you know, which I'm not a chef, so if I'm doing this wrong, I'm sorry. But if you're sharpening the knife on both sides, and the process is it's metal on metal, steel on steel. In the process, I'm sharpening it, and I looked up how this is working. You know, like, I'm like, why does it sharpen? Why does it work in this way? And the process of doing this is actually called honing. You say sharpening, but it's also called honing because you're honing the blade. You're actually recentering the blade. Over time, as you're cutting things, it becomes dull because it's not centered the right way. All right, I'll put that down now. I don't want to cut myself. The process is actually called honing because you're honing it in a way that makes it a lot more sharp, and it's also being recentered. If the blade's too uncentered, the blade will not operate to its full capacity. If the blade is dull, it won't operate to its full capacity. In the same way in our lives, we get off-centered. In the same way in our lives, we get off track. And the whole illustration of, like, if you're 1 degree off for 100 years, you're 100 degrees off. Like, over time, you get off-centered. So you need people around you that help to sharpen you, that help to recenter you on your walk with God, help to get you back on track to where you need to be. We also need people to help us become sharper in every area of our lives that, you know, maybe your theology's gotten off in a little bit of a time and you need someone around you to say, hey, maybe you're wrong and you need to go in this direction. That people help you to get sharper mentally, physically, emotionally, all these things. In the sharpening process, it's not easy. I'm sure if this knife could talk, it would say, stop. Stop sharpening me. Stop rubbing against me like that doesn't feel good in any way. But ultimately, it's being honed, which is giving it a better result. Friction and tension are not fun for any of us, but it is sometimes necessary for us to be honed back to center in our walk with Jesus. Leads me to the second point for today, which is this: true community meets together continually. Congratulations, you're doing it. You're here at church this morning. We're meeting together continually. It's incredible. But in Hebrews 10:24, it says this: and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And this is what I want you to catch: not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Community is designed to be a continual process. It wasn't designed to be a one and done. It wasn't designed to be just a Christmas and Easter service. It wasn't designed to just be a once a month, and I'll be at the lake the other 3 weeks. It's designed to be continual. Every week, I'm here. I'm with people. I'm with believers. And we know things happen. But in the process, you need to try to make it an effort to meet together continually. You can't have community if you only gather together one time, as I said. And this verse lays it out perfectly, that we need to not neglect meeting together. Because community should be a first priority. It shouldn't be a last resort. It shouldn't just be when I need help. It shouldn't just be like, hey, I'm really struggling in my walk with the Lord, so now I'm going to go back to church. It should just be we're meeting together continually. It's not a last resort. It's a priority. The reason that we want to be in constant community is because there's momentum when we're together. There is a momentum moving forward when we meet together continually. And I actually have a passage of scripture to show you today in Acts chapter 2. 44 to 47 on the Sky Bible. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Everything in common. They sold property, they sold possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And I love this. And the Lord added to their numbers daily. There is a momentum when we meet together continually. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. It's not saying they all liked the Packers. It's not saying they all liked to eat pizza. It's not saying that all of them liked to eat meat. It's not saying any of these kinds of things, but it's saying they had everything in common when it came to their spirits. Everything in common when it came to their walk with the Lord. And the Lord added to their numbers daily. That when we're here together, we're all together, the same vision, same word, same presence of God. And when we do this, the Lord will add to our numbers daily. This church is going to see a growth like it's never seen before if we get that idea. This church is going to boom. It's going to reach our communities. It's going to reach our schools. It's going to reach our state as if we are getting that idea. That as we meet together continually, as we continue to grow because it's a byproduct, as we do these things, then the church, and more importantly, the kingdom of God will continue to advance. That's a good point. There's momentum as well to people who are in constant community. And this is not saying that we all need to have the same hobbies and interests, but there's unity where there's community. There's unity where there's community. That when we're together and we're unified around a point, there's momentum as we move forward. Which leads me to my last and final thing, which is point three, which says, true community encourages. True community encourages. I love being encouraged. I love encouraging other people because I can't be sad when I'm encouraged. That I can't be complaining when I'm also encouraged. Your brain literally does not comprehend both at the same time. That if you're being encouraged, I can't really be complaining at the same time. And I love in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, again, we're reading through it because repetition is the key to all learning, as my teacher told me in high school. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And I love it. This is one of my favorite parts about community, is encouragement. We encourage each other when we pray. We encourage each other when we meet together and we just call stuff out of people. We encourage each other to love and good works, but you know, we really need to be figuring out how am I encouraging or am I encouraging? You may come to church every single week and you just come in for service and you walk out. I want to encourage you, take an extra step. Come in, encourage somebody, go to the service, and then walk out. Encourage somebody. Find someone you haven't met before. Find someone you have met before. Encourage them. Call stuff out of them. Like, hey, I saw you holding a door today, and you did such a great job welcoming people in this place. Hey, I saw you leading worship today, and I really enjoyed, you know, what you were doing. Hey, I saw you were really paying attention during the service, and that was so incredible just to see how dialed in you were to what God had in store. That encouragement is incredibly important in every way. I would say this, that encouragement is a lifeline. It's a literal lifeline that moves us forward in our walk with Jesus. And something that I thought about this morning, actually, was, so yesterday, like I said, we just got back from camps, and yesterday, we went back to Iowa. So, like, we came back, literally went right back to Iowa because a friend of ours, who's the youth director for the state of Iowa, we had a funeral for his five-month-old child. That, wow, I was not expecting to get anywhere near emotional. So, when he was born, when he was 5 months, literally as he was born, he had diagnosed with a condition that basically said, hey, you may have a week, you may have a month, you may have a year to live. And the whole time, they had faith to believe he was going to be healed. The whole time, they're like, this is going to happen. Like, we're believing for it. They fasted. They prayed. They called the elders of the church to pray. They anointed with oil. All of these different things. And the whole time, Asher was not healed on this earth. But now he's healed eternally. That he's healed in heaven. He's with his grandparents up there in heaven. But yesterday, we had a funeral for him. And what was amazing to me was the community that was there for Ryan and Megan Yates, the parents. That the whole time, the family was gathered around them, the friends were around them, and all just praying for the family. And as Ryan preached the message, as the father preached the message for his five-month-old child, the whole time he was encouraging to the people. That instead of being bitter because his son died, instead he's praising God for the time he had, and praising the Lord for the story that's going to continue to take place as people are getting saved continually through Asher's story. It's incredible to me, just the faith, the encouragement of that community. And I love what he said. So like they did like a whole church service basically for that thing. They didn't do a whole like celebration of life thing. They didn't even do a morning thing. They were like, this is Asher's story, so let's worship. This is Asher's story, so let's give a message. This is Asher's story, let's give an altar call. And we saw there was at least four people that raised their hand for salvation at a funeral because of Asher's story. And in this, he, you know, when Ryan was talking and giving a message, he said this: who is standing with you? Who is fighting with you? Because it matters who you fight your battles with. That this whole time, they've been fighting a battle. This whole time, they're like, Lord, we need him healed. This whole time, they're like, what is going to happen? And they had friends, they had family that were right there in the midst, encouraging them the whole time. They were fighting their battles not alone. They were fighting their battles with people, with community, with other believers and family and friends that were pushing them forward to what God had in store for their family, even when God didn't answer their prayer in the way that they wanted him to answer it. Yeah, and something that I noticed, like I said, when we were there, is this, like, there was one moment in the funeral where Ryan and Megan came up to the middle, stood, like, right down here in the front, and they said, all right, I need the family to surround them. And so the family surrounded them, laid hands on them, and they said, all right, now I need all of the friends, the pastors, everyone else that's in here to surround them. Because that's honestly a picture of how it is, that your family is a priority. God's at the center, your family's right around you, your friends and family around that. And there's the community that is pushing you forward to loving good works. God's going to change your life as he changes your family's life, as he changes your friend's life. That you have an important aspect of encouraging, but they have an important aspect of encouraging you as well. Because who are you fighting your battles with? Because encouragement is a lifeline that moves us forward. If they weren't encouraged, if they didn't have people fighting their battles with them, it would have been a lot harder the entire time. And there's a story that I read this past year that really illustrates this point. So I'm going to be looking at my iPad for a little bit because I'm going to illustrate it through this thing. It says this: there was once a water bearer who had two large pots. One hung on each end of a pole which he carried across his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it, but the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water at the end of a long walk from the stream to the master's house, while the crack pot arrived only half full. For a full 2 years, this went on daily, with the bearer delivering only 1.5 pots full of water to his master's house. Of course, the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made. But the poor cracked pot was very ashamed of its imperfections. It was miserable that it could only do half of what it was made to do, or so it thought. The cracked pot, after 2 years of what it perceived to be a bitter failure, spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. Obviously, it's not based on a true story. The pot's talking. I am very ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you. Why? Asked the water bearer. What are you ashamed of? For the past 2 years, I have only been able to deliver half of my real capacity because this crack in my side allows water to leak out all the way back to the master's house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all of this work and you don't get full value from your efforts, the crackpot said. The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot and compassionately said, as we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path. As they went up the hill, the old cracked pot did notice the sun shining on the beautiful wild flowers growing along his side of the path. And this cheered it some. However, at the end of the trail, it still felt bad because it had, again, leaked about half of its load. And so it apologized to the water bearer for its failure. And the bearer said to the pot, did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path? Did you notice that there wasn't any on the other pot's side? That's because I've always known about your flaw and put it to good use. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path for the return trip. And every day while we walk back from the stream, you've watered them. For over 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. If you weren't the way that you were or that you are, he wouldn't have the flowers for his house. Sometimes we feel like a broken pot. Sometimes we have cracks in our lives that seem unfixable. And the beautiful thing about this story is it's a simple act of encouragement that can help us to see beauty through our cracks.
that the pot's original purpose was to carry water, but it not only did it carry water, but it watered the path along the way, creating beauty through the flowers.
A simple act of encouragement can make somebody else's crack become something beautiful. The simple act of encouraging someone can help them to see beauty through their ashes. That in the midst of a funeral, they can see beauty on the other side. That today, encourage someone. Today, push each other to love and good works. And in the same way as encouraging someone with your words, we also need to encourage others with our prayers for them. James 5:16, it says this, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power at its working." A beautiful part about community is that there's power in the power in prayer. There's power when we pray together. And don't get me wrong, God can work powerfully in your private prayer time. He's done it for me, and I know he can do it for you. But he can also work powerfully, and honestly, I would say there is a multiplication effect when we pray together in community. That scripture says in Matthew 18:20, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am among them." That as we gather together, God's presence is there. And something that is incredible, I got a text yesterday from our student, one of our students, Christian Strutz, who also helps oversee kids here at Germantown. Christian texted me because, little backstory, about, I don't know, probably 8 months ago, something like that, it was a while ago, his dad was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And as a pastor, that's hard to walk that through with your student, that his dad has a brain tumor that's unoperable because it's underneath the skull. And so basically he was told, you know, you have this long to live, that kind of thing. And so they had incredible faith to believe that God was going to do immeasurably more in his life. And they prayed. And then they're like, hey, why don't we do like a prayer service of some aspect where we just get a bunch of people that we know to get together to pray. And so we got together, we prayed, probably 40 to 50 of us. We prayed for him. And it wasn't an instantaneous healing. It was, we prayed for him and afterwards found out his tumor still there, but it wasn't growing anymore. It was stopped. And we're like, okay, well, praise the Lord. Like, I mean, it's still there, but at least it's not growing anymore. And he texted me this week and he said, hey, by the way, they just did testing. His tumor's completely gone. There's not a trace. There's nothing left there. There's only scar tissue. That's incredible that he has only scar tissue left to show for what was there. That's all that's left is literally scar tissue. And the doctor literally told them, you've been healed. The doctor, who I don't know, he might have been a Christian. I don't know. He said, you've been healed. Praise the Lord. And so that became because people praying for Kurt. That came from people gathering together to pray. And so sometimes our prayers when it comes to healing looks like that, where he's physically healed. Sometimes it looks like Asher, where it's someone that's not healed on this side of eternity, but he's healed for eternity in heaven. That no matter what it is, prayer and your words are encouragement that pushes each other forward. And so as we close today, I want you to take a step to engage with others in prayer. We're going to have prayer partners down here at the front following the service. And so before you head out that way, come this way to encounter God in prayer. That as you might have something, a physical need that you need healing from. It may be a mental need. It might be an emotional need. Come get prayer. And also get in community. Get in a life group where you can get together with other people to grow in your walk with God, but also push each other to loving good works, because community is incredibly important. And so we believe that God's going to work powerfully in your lives and the lives of those around you as you engage in community. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, I pray that every word that was spoken would not fall to the ground and return void, but God, every single word would just penetrate the hearts of the people today. God, I ask that you would just help us to engage in community, God, as we continue to move forward in our walk with you. That we can grow together here at church, but God, we go even beyond here to encounter our friends and community, Lord, even beyond this. And so we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you did today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.